Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with your responsibilities, and it seems like you'll never get it all done? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but don't use all the time, and take advice and wisdom from one another. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to keep on being the well woman you are. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Before we get started, I want to let you know about our deep dive workshop on visioning. If you're listening to this as the show is published, you'll be in time to join us next week. You can join us online or in person, March 15th from 5 to 8 p.m. And you can go to wellwomanlife.com/events to register there. And if you're listening after the fact, you can still benefit from this because we're going to post the information and the worksheets online at wellwomanlife.com/visioning. So if it's after March 15th, 2017, you can still go to wellwomanlife.com/visioning to download all the goodies from that workshop. It's not too late to set your goals for this year. That's what we're going to be doing in the deep dive workshop on visioning. Usually we scramble around on December 31st trying to sort out our goals for the coming year. And inevitably by the end of January, partway through February, we've lost steam and we're wondering how we're ever going to accomplish what we want to do this year. So what I love to do is spend the first month or so of the year in the dream stage. And this is where I listen and observe inwardly and outwardly before I'm really ready to jump into implementation. So it doesn't mean that you just aren't doing anything. It means that you are mulling over, you're taking in all the information, and you are processing what it is, how you want to tackle your goals for the year. So I love doing visioning in late February or March for the rest of the year because you've sort of got the beginning of the year stuff all out of the way. And you still have time left to really accomplish some major goals for the year because we still have a lot of time left. So I want you to ask yourself, what would need to happen by December 31st, 2017, for it to be a great year in the areas of your personal life, your professional life, and your impact on the community? On March 15th, we're going to spend an evening visualizing and mapping out our year. And also beyond the year, we are going to focus on the year and then the 5-year goals. So we're going to hold this deep dive workshop with Monica Bencomo of momswearheels.com. And we'll guide you through the process of creating your own visioning and your own vision board. This is definitely for you if you like the idea of visioning with a supportive group of women to come up with your goals for the year. And I truly love vision boards. It's a great way to visually see what you're trying to create in your life. And when I look back at my vision boards from the past, everything has manifested. I mean, everything. It's pretty amazing. So you can go to wellwomanlife.com/events to register. And if you're joining us online, you'll be joining via Zoom, which is a great way to join the group. And if you're in person, it's in Albuquerque, and you can come. It's 5 to 8 p.m. on March 15th. Okay, let's go to today's show, which I'm so excited about. Today's topic is how to find balance through spiritual connection. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to remember that all people have the capacity for spiritual depth, focus on things that unite people rather than separate them, and recognize that even if someone has a differing opinion than you, we can all connect on the level of spirit. My guest today is Jean Houston. Jean is a PhD scholar, philosopher, and researcher in human capacities. In 1965, along with her husband, Dr. Robert Masters, Jean founded the Foundation for Mind Research. She is long regarded as one of the principal founders of the human potential movement. A prolific writer, Jean is the author of 26 books, including Jump Time, A Passion for the Possible, Search for the Beloved, Life Force, and The Possible Human. As advisor to UNICEF in human and cultural development, she has worked around the world helping to implement some of their extensive educational programs. In this episode, Jean and I talk about the intersectionality of spirituality and politics, what we can do to use spirituality to connect in our current political climate, the importance of women coming into power, and why community is so important. It was truly an honor to meet Jean. I met her at Sister Giant when I was there in February in Washington, D.C., and she's such a powerhouse, and I just, by chance, just by things aligning the way they do, I had the opportunity to interview her, and so I pulled out my iPhone, used the voice memo on my iPhone to record, and it actually worked out really well. So I really hope you enjoy this interview with Jean Houston. And the free giveaway today is my free Compassionate Leader self-assessment tool, which helps you easily identify which characteristics of a compassionate leader you embody and which ones you may want to work on. And you can grab that at wellwomanlife.com/056show. Now to my interview with Jean Houston.
I'm sitting with Jean Houston here at Sister Giant in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Jean, you spoke yesterday at the event. You were a headliner talking about the intersection. The conference is focused on the intersection of spirituality and politics. What is your message about that right now?
Well, since politics is changing so dramatically in our time in the last few months, and some of the issues are so huge that one of the best ways to really tap into the enormous intelligence that we all have within us, problem solving, etc., is in terms of our spiritual lives. Every day is spiritual exercise, in a sense. Every day providing challenges that we have to go deeper through the many domains that we each contain. You know, we are, as I sometimes say, you know, we are not encapsulated bags of skin dragging around dreary little egos. We are beings of many, many levels and layers. And part of my work in human development over 60 years now, has been studying this development. And then, of course, I've also been a consultant to the United Nations for many years in human and social development, working in 109 countries, not just the UN, other agencies as well. And finding that the times are very, very different everywhere. The rise of women to full partnership with men in the whole domain of human affairs is very significant. By the way, one of the things I should say is when I observe women rising around the world, and the ones who really, you know, take on the big issues and call the conferences and create the programs, many of them are women of a certain age, most of them. I mean, postmenopausal zest is no mere metaphor. <You know? laughs> And so I find that women's ways of knowing are very significant to making a better world. We look at who are leading many of the charges against the current president or the person who's occupying that role right now. Probably not for long, I don't believe. But many of the ones, are women everywhere.
And that women's way of knowing that you that you refer to. Can you talk more about what that is and how women of all ages and men can have that way of knowing?
Yes. Well, the emphasis is on process, making things cohere, develop, grow. Not so much on product, because reality is shifting microsecond by microsecond. It's also about the releasing of thousands of years of expectations. And we're doing that in a few hundred months. So necessarily, you know, you do come up against backlash or pushback. And yet you know that you are part of an enormous amount, crowd of women and men, people of all ages, all ethnicities, that are part of perhaps the biggest movement in human history. You know, people ask me, what is the biggest movement? I would have to say it's the rise of women to full partnership with men across the whole domain of the human agenda. But this is releasing men to be what they can be. They're not under the same kind of heavy thumbprint of the old patriarchy anymore. Many, of course, get hot and bothered and confused, and that's to be expected. And they need all of our compassion because so much is changing.
Yeah. What is the intersection or the relationship between patriarchy and spirituality? I mean, where are we with that?
Well, and you know, a great deal of our official religions, our Abrahamic religions, not so much of not our indigenous religions, but it really grows out of patriarchal societies, which was appropriate for that time. But to have a spirituality is not so much feminine-based, but equal-based between the sensibilities, the spiritual powers, the spiritual yearnings of women as well as men. That, I think, is being forged in the fires of the challenges of our time into a spirituality that is certainly far more ecological, far more relationship-oriented, probably far more related to the discovery of the spiritual forces that contain. You may or may not know that as a very young girl, between my 14th and 17 years, I used to walk with an old man that I called Mr. Taylor. He lived across the street from me in New York City. And Mr. Taylor turned out to be Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, you know. And he was saying to me, Jean, the people of your time will be taking the tiller of the world. But they cannot go directement. You must touch every culture, every people. And he also spoke about the rising tide of the newest sphere, the sphere of the human spirit and the human mind, as encompassing equally women and men. You know, and he was very much a prophet of the time. But he's the one who said, we are not so much human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Yeah. And I think that's true. I think that ecologically, in the grand scope of things, you know, we don't just live in the universe. The universe lives in us. And that's just good quantum physics in its applied form. So I truly feel that there is a rising, with the rise of women to a whole new order, there is also a rising, a sensibility of being part of a universe in a very intimate and dynamic way. And what I have found in my work in human development is that when you access these realms that in the past was sort of the province of mystics and high creative people and shamans, when it becomes normal and natural, it is the discovery of a whole continent of spirit that is filled with access points, with intelligences, with problem solvings, with ways of seeing things as dynamically interrelated, maybe even hologrammatically interrelated, you know. So we are in a time of the evolution of our forms of spirituality, and certainly with the gathering from all over the world and all times of the wisdom, the spiritual wisdom of so many cultures, the opportunities are enormous for spiritual development. Mm. You know, It isn't just when I was a child, you know, the rosary, I mean, beautiful as that was, it's now also the Sufi dancing, you know, and the kirtan chantings and the Native American nature, relationship to nature. I mean, it's so many different things. And this is truly extraordinary. But it's giving people all over access points to their own spiritual depths that perhaps were not well housed for many of them when they were caught within a particular system, a particular way of seeing. This is not to say we should not have these other systems. I mean, they're very valuable, but I think given the new knowledge that we have of self and universe, I think, and given the wisdom that comes to us from traditions much older than our Western ones, where the study of the human psyche was so deep and so profound for thousands of years, I think this is also giving us access to the realm of spirit and of our spiritual centeredness that is probably one of the great pulse points of the human transformation in our time.
Just as an aside, I Sufi danced when I was a kid.
Did you?
Thanks to my stepmother.
Yeah.
took me Sufi dancing.
Yes.
I think that this conference is so important right now in this moment because there's a whole huge spiritual community that's not involved in politics or hasn't been lately.
Yes, yes.
And there's a whole huge political community that hasn't been involved in spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we bring those two together? How do we talk to both of those groups?
Well, sometimes it takes the seriousness of challenge to bring people together. I mean, I'm old enough to have well remembered World War II and how unlikely people came together, you know, because we were in the midst of what was felt to be a rightful contention, a rightful war. And I'm finding this example in this great conference that we're in, people of many, many different disciplines and ethnicities and ways of being are coming together in two ways, and this is something I try to stress. One is the sense of the deep wrongness of some aspects of the political agenda, but even more importantly, it was a sense of togetherness, that we are all in this together, and we're journeying in a whole new mythic dimension where what we do profoundly makes a difference as to whether we grow or die, whether we evolve or perish. They're so huge are the issues, so that the issues of inwardness and spiritual practice and spiritual reality have loomed as the fact that we need to add another aspect to our daily life, other in our practice, our practicing for each other and for the world. It isn't just, you know, the flight of the alone to the alone.
Right.
You know, we are all deeply interwoven in this, and with the new understandings that come from all over the world because of the harvest of so many different cultures and peoples, as well as the discoveries of the new physics. I mean, together, this is the new physics and the metaphysics come together in a new kind of cross.
And just to go into more a personal level here with you, and to wrap up in just a minute, I wanted to ask you, you know, the Well Woman Show, we talk about how do we take care of ourselves as women leaders, entrepreneurs, and just women in order that so that we can be who we need to be in the world. We're mothers, we're daughters, we're sisters, we're taking care of people, we're running businesses, we're running, you know, companies, we're doing so much out in the world. What do we need to do? We need to focus on taking care of ourselves in order to do that.
I think we need a loving community of co-nurturers. Really, because often we get so busy by ourselves that we're the first to go. You know, we give ourselves away, which is important, and I'm preaching to myself right now. But I think having a community of people, not a large one, it could be four or five or six or seven, but but we deeply care and see, truly see the depths, the beauty of each other and empower it. And it might be with also suggestions about eating and exercise and the basic things that we know keep us together. If you ask me also something else, make sure you have a dog or a cat. I'm really a dog person. I mean, I sometimes consider myself almost half a dog, because I'm literally raised by a dog. But I think having a pet who can look at you with utter, you know, appreciation and who you feel the same way. There's something about the magic that exists between ourselves and our dear, you know, animal friends that I think puts us back to rights, gives us something of the spiritual content of living truly with nature. And I think that having a pet is very important. Mm. Who's a deep friend. I say pet, but it isn't just a pet. It's a deep
friend. Animal friend.
An animal. Or it could be something else. It could be a bird. I mean, I've never kept birds, but
something that you connect with.
Something you connect with. A horse, certainly.
And what is the one habit that you have that contributes to your well-being?
I have a deeply daily reflection, contemplation, a kind of contemplative spirituality. And I do so, this is a very long discussion, but I enter into a meditative state or a contemplative state on great qualities, quality of wisdom, quality of love, quality of courage. And I might even have an archetypal design in my mind that I can then also more readily and emotionally respond to.
And you do that every day?
Every day. I've never missed one in, golly, many, many years.
Morning or evening or both?
Well, I would say early in the morning. I'm the larkiest of larks. About 5 o'clock, I'm racing around. Mm. You know? But it's true. It's there as a kind of river of spirit that flows through me throughout the day.
Jean, what does success in life mean to you?
Oh, dear. It doesn't mean what it does for most people, I suppose. To me, it is... Let me put it this way. I once asked Margaret Mead. I was the adopted daughter of Margaret Mead. I mean, a wonderful mother. She was a wonderful daughter. But that was our relationship. She looked up at me one day and she said, I need another daughter, so that's probably you. And she lived with us off and on the last 6 years of her life. Mm. And I asked her, I said, Margaret, what do you want on your tombstone? When she was getting ready to die. And she answered, she lived long enough to be of some use. I thought, boy, that's me. So part of it is certainly that, to really feel that one was useful, but also that one learned from so many others. And especially to learn in this extraordinarily, exorbitantly interesting time, truly probably the most interesting time in human history, where, as I said, what we do makes a difference. And the challenges are unique. I've been running around the world for a long time training people in social artistry, you know, human development in the light of so much social change, to really be good stewards of Earth and society at this time. And that, to me, to whatever success I've had, I don't even know if it's success, that just to me was important.
What superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Well, I think it's a hard question for me, because by the time I was 3 years old, I was one of these people who was rather aware of what my mission and service in life was. And so I felt myself blessed by energies, ideas, even archetypal domains, qualities. And so I think I was always aware of it. Mm. Yeah. Nothing ever came as a surprise to me.
Mm. You had that deep knowledge from an early age.
About 3 years old, I would have to say.
What advice would you give your 25 or 30-year-old self?
Don't be so hypersensitive. You know, it all passes. Everything is in a state of change. Look at the flow power of change and not at the obstructions of the moment.
Do you identify as a feminist?
as a feminist? Well, I used to say for many, many years that I identified as a humanist. But as these issues have gotten thornier, I would say I'm much more of a feminist than I ever was.
Jean, what are you reading right now? What's on your nightstand?
Well, right now I'm reading serious political books, quite frankly. The Dark Money book, you know, by Jane Mayer. Mm-hmm. I always have a good novel going because it keeps my mind, you know, alerted in living in metaphor. I mean, mm-hmm. really good. I read a lot of poetry. Mm-hmm. Mary Oliver, of course, you know. I'm a Shakespeare buff. I live in the town that celebrates Shakespeare, Ashland, Oregon, the Oregon Shakespeare mm-hmm. Festival.
My mother took me there when I was a child.
Yeah. That's a beautiful town.
That was our vacation, to go to the Ashland, Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Ashland, Oregon itself, 20,000 people and 12,000 marched in the Women's March Day.
Wow. Well,
that give you, yeah. I think once the whole town voted for Dennis Kucinich for president. I'm going to be seeing him in a few minutes, ironically. It's sort of like ancient Athens without the slaves. Mm-hmm. Ashland is a high culture place. And my mother was a Shakespearean actor, and I grew up in the theater. Mm-hmm. You know, my father was a comedy writer, Bob Hope. And all
I knew that. Well, I knew that about your dad, but I knew that about you in the theater when I saw you on stage yesterday.
Oh dear, here's a theater friend. Well, yeah, I actually got a New York Critics Award when I was very, very young for acting, but I did not. Oh, and I have a play that may be going to Broadway now.
Oh, what's that?
It's based on parallel worlds. And how three women who are on a stage, one is giving a TED talk, and one is receiving an award, and one is a chanteuse, and they think they're alone on the stage, and they are with their own audience, and suddenly it's a tremendous seismic shake, and they discover there's no audience, and it's just three, and they are the same person from parallel worlds, and what happens when they meet, and they evoke each other in a whole new way.
Oh,
it's really, yeah, it's exciting, and I wrote it with my co-writer, is Sherry Steinkellner, who wrote Cheers.
Oh, wow!
And we've had a wonderful time.
That's
what I really have enjoyed.
Jean, we're pretty much done. I just wanted to give the opportunity to share any last thoughts with listeners in this difficult political time in terms of what's like steps people can take today.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the beauty of this incredible conference that we're in, that so much deep existential practical advice has been given. Stand up and not just be counted, but do something. I mean, really find the organizations within your community that you can really, you know, be part of and support, not just with money. I mean, people just ask for money and that's only partial support. No, you want to support them with your ideas, with your moral courage and strength. This is the time for moral courage. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be bashful and shy about it anymore. You really have to come forward and bring the fullness of your humanity to your beliefs. And by God, you'll find a lot of good friends in that process. Dear.
Jean, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Jean Houston. She's a PhD scholar, philosopher, and researcher in human capacities. She's long regarded as one of the principal founders of the human potential movement and has written 26 books. Jean and I spoke about how spiritual connectedness can help us to work through our turmoil in politics, the importance of community and coming together to find peace and balance, and the significance of the women's rise to equality in the advancement of human development. You can get the freebie, which is the Compassionate Leader self-assessment tool, at wellwomanlife.com/056show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenge as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. And do join us for the deep dive workshop on visioning. You can go to wellwomanlife.com/events to sign up for that. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/Well Woman Life Community. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.